Great. Well, welcome everyone. We are live and welcome to this seminar, which is called Being Sent Out, Discerning the Call to Pioneer or Plant. It's going to be a great seminar. We've got a great speaker and panelists, which I'll introduce in a moment. But just before we begin, a couple of practical things. You will see that we've got Q&A open and also chat open. We'd love to hear from you. So if you are watching us and you want to add in your questions, please add them in, whatever they are. And you can see on other people's questions, you can upvote them by clicking like on them as well. If you want to add in anything to the chat, something that struck you or a thought or a comment, then do add that in there as well. We are recording this seminar, but if you're a participant and not a speaker or panelist, then your name and your information won't be included in the recording. If I read out your question, I will only use first name so that we're compliant with GDPR. And you also an encouragement to share anything that you would like to share on social media as well from the seminar, any quotes or any thoughts that you've got. You can use the two hashtags. The first one is hashtag CCX and the other one is hashtag MultiplyX2021. So I'm Abby, I'm hosting this seminar stream. I'm Abby Todd and I'm leading a church revitalization style plant in Northeast London in South Woodford. And with us today, we have Ed Oldworth-Peter, who's going to be sharing with us in a moment. Ed is a national advisor for Pioneer Development in the Church of England. Welcome, Ed. It's great to have you. And we've also got Richard Perkins, who's the Director of Church Planting for Commission. And we've also got Beth Rookwood, and Beth is a pioneer leader of the Roost and is a bishop's advisor for Pioneer Ministry. So welcome, Richard and Beth. We've got such a great team. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Ed, who's going to kick us off with some thoughts around discerning a call to pioneer and plant.
Thank you, Abby. Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm going to talk for about 15 minutes, just thinking about, I think, the difference between planting and pioneering. What is the difference between a planter or a pioneer, if there is one? We can discuss that. And also within that, to think about how you might discern whether you have a calling to be a planter or a pioneer, or maybe there's a slight hybrid of both. Also, just to say, in thinking about this, it's not just my thoughts. We've had some really rich conversations, Richard and Beth and Abby and others, in preparing this. So lots of our thoughts are included in what we're going to share, which hopefully is a great springboard for conversation. So I want to start by sharing a slide here. Sorry, let's press start. We've been thinking a little bit about how would you define planter and pioneer? And we had a really good conversation about this. And this is not a binary thing. I think there's lots of overlap and fluidity in this, but maybe this is helpful to get us started. So the words in blue are talking about planter, and the words in green are referring to a pioneer. Let's very quickly run through those. So there's something about a planter gathering worship, gathering new people to worship in a new space, which then may lead to serving the local community, where it might happen simultaneously in some ways. A pioneer perhaps is more about serving the community, which then will lead in time to gathered worship. So maybe it's about a come and see approach for a planter, whereas a pioneer, maybe it's more about going and staying. So you're in the missional context and actually you're staying there to grow something new. Stuart Murray, in his work looking at post-Christendom church in a postmodern world, talks about exhortation that leads to invitation. So celebrating what you believe and what you're about and inviting people to come and join in with where you are in a space, in a church space perhaps, or a school or wherever you are. Pioneers might be more about incarnation that leads to exploration. So you're living out your faith alongside people in the missional context, and over time they might begin to ask questions through what they're seeing, how they're seeing you live, just want to explore what they're seeing in you a bit more. Co-creating seems a really live word at the moment, and we were wondering whether planters co-create with existing Christians, perhaps in forming a team and starting something new. Pioneers might also co-create with other pioneers, but probably not very many of them, maybe one or two. sometimes even they're on their own, but they'll do a lot of co-creating with the local community. Again, those who are not necessarily part of Christian faith or part of church. And finally, this was really helpful in our discussions. We wondered if planting is about starting something from growth or decline. So by that, it's about, you know, if a church has grown, it's multiplied, actually might feel like it's got quite big. So it's maybe 20, 25 people decide to go, leave that church, go to a brand new space and grow a new one. So the growth is part of the starting. Or it might be going to a church where actually there isn't a worshipping congregation there anymore. There used to be, or it's just down to a few people. And there's a sense of reimagining and rebuilding what once was there. So it's sort of growing out of decline. Whereas pioneers are really starting from nothing. There's not an existing congregation that they're working with or from. They're starting from scratch in brand new places. But the really important thing, I think, with these two circles is the overlap. And as we'll see as we move through in the next few minutes, I think this is not as cut and dry as we're presenting in either its blue list or green list. There's all kinds of overlap between the two, I think, and we're seeing that emerging in different ways. One really helpful analogy we use in the National Ministry Team in discernment is thinking about a funnel. So I've got a funnel here. This you might use in a science experiment, or maybe we used to use it to make jelly when we were kids. I don't know why, but we used a funnel in cooking sometimes. So imagine that a discernment process or journey is a bit like a funnel. Imagine this ball is you. And as you sort of journey into the funnel, it's quite wide. There might be some really big general themes that you're noticing. And as you go further down the funnel, actually, it's getting more and more and more defined in terms of what specifically your calling is. Who are you? So it's getting general to much more specific as it moves through. So in what we're going to talk about for the remaining time, we're going to journey through the funnel at sort of breakneck speed, thinking about what your passions might be at the wide part of the funnel, what the charism of you might be, so your gifts or your intention or what you have to offer, your identity here. And at the bottom, what specific qualities or practices might be really important for you in how having worked out those other things. So first thinking about passions of coming in at this end of the funnel. Well, again, we chatted about this, and I think there's been lots and lots of similarity between planters and pioneers. It's got to be about a real passion to start something new, a passion to to reach people who don't yet know Jesus in a new space, to go beyond what already exists. In some cases, it might be about challenging the status quo. And I know particularly for pioneers, it's also a gift of not fitting in, which Johnny Baker, who's written lots on pioneers, talks about. But there's certainly a sense of wanting to grow a Jesus-centered community. It's out of prayer. We're being responsive to what God is doing. And I really liked what Archbishop Justin was saying earlier on this morning about unlocking the doors to let Jesus out of the church. I bet that would be a very common passion for all people wanting to start a new Christian community. So the first question, I guess, for all of you listening to this is, what is your passion? What are your passions? If you had to sum them up in a few words or in a short sentence, what would it be for you that's really driving what you feel God is calling you to do? So passions at the top. Next, thinking about charism. I'm going to show another slide connected to this. There we go. Let's move through. Sorry, my computer always does this. There we are. So we're going to think about who and how in just exploring charism for a moment. And there might be three different who's that you could think about in terms of what might describe your calling, discerning to be a pioneer or a planter. Are you a fresh start person? So are you all about going to new places, reaching new people in all sorts of different new ways? Maybe for a planter, it's about church revitalization. So you're going to a new building that you haven't been in before, you're bringing people with you and you're grafting onto something, or you're starting a new community in that space. But it's new, it's different. It's had a sending church, but maybe it's its own thing in its own right. For pioneers, maybe it's about, say, moving on to a new housing estate where there is no church, it's all brand new buildings, and you move in and you're spending some time there. And over time, you're beginning to get to know people, form community, and then out of that some kind of church emerges, but it's not linked to an existing church, it's on its own. So Fresh Start's all about blank canvas, new ideas, new start. I wonder if that's you. Secondly, maybe it's about being a parish-based pioneer or planter. So you're part of the existing church, but you're recognising a need in that parish space or that community space to think, actually, we've got to do something else as well as this. And so maybe your call is to extend the reach of the parish or extend the reach of the boundaries of that church community in some way in your town or village or local community. And your work probably is all about starting the new thing, but it's connected to the existing church. So maybe as a planter, it's starting a new service in a pub, or it's planting into a school building at the weekend where you're going to start a new church, but it's maybe connected into the existing church that sent that. Pioneers maybe do something similar, but maybe they're starting a forest church, a cafe church, messy church, or something in someone's home, a missional community. It's church in its own right. We're not expecting people to come to the existing church, but it's all sitting together, extending the reach of the parish. So I wonder, are you parish-based in terms of the who of who you are? And thirdly, mixed ecology ministry. One of the big themes of the Church of England's new strategy is that mixed ecology would become the norm, by which it means we want to have in the Church of England lots of different types of church everywhere to reach lots of different people, as Bishop Rick was also saying as we started. And so this is really similar to parish-based, but there are, I think, lots of people who feel called to lead existing church and lead the new thing at the same time. And we've just published some research called the Mixed Ecologists. If you just Google Mixed Ecologists Living Ministry Research, Church of England, you'll find it. It was a very specific study looking at ordained Anglican priests who were leading traditional existing church and a fresh expression or pioneer community. So it had a very particular focus. But we noticed there that actually people doing that, it'll grow the depth of the existing congregation over time. It expands the missional outreach of the parish, but it takes time, team and tenacity. So it's a hard thing to do. So in terms of your who, would you describe yourself as fresh start, parish based or mixed ecology in thinking about being a planter or a pioneer? Then just moving on to think about the how. This is a diagram called the Pioneer Spectrum. You can find this if you just Google Pioneer Spectrum, CMS. It's written by Tina Hodgett and Paul Bradbury. For the purposes of today, I'm going to slightly cheekily rename it the New Christian Community Spectrum, without any disrespect to Tina and Paul's work, just because they use the word planting and pioneer a bit interchangeably, which might muddle us up a bit. So imagine this is a spectrum about people who start new forms of church. To the left, the how, the approach, which perhaps is more in the planting camp, is about replicating something. So taking a model of church that you know works really well, taking a group of people, starting something maybe similar somewhere else, and so you're replicating or reproducing in that sense. Next, moving along in the middle might be adapters. So you're seeing something somewhere else, but you're really reading the culture of where you're wanting to grow something new, and you're adapting what you've seen in different places to create something really specific to where you are. And then moving along towards the right-hand side are innovators, who are a bit like the fresh start people we were just talking about. They're going to start from a blank canvas, lots of new ideas, starting from scratch, really, really working with the local community to make that happen. So they're spending time listening, they're loving and serving the community from that listening, they're getting to know people, building a sense of community with them, and then together asking, well, what would church look like for us? And these are all really important. It's not a sense of value against any of these that are better or worse. It's just a spectrum. And it's really helpful to think about, in terms of your approach to starting a new Christian community, where you might place yourself. I think the adapting circle is important, and that might represent in some ways the overlap of the pioneer and the planting circles that we started with. There could be some deep connection into second or third generation planters often are following a more contextual or pioneer approach. Some pioneers are starting things that have a more come and see approach. So maybe that sits in that adapting space. But where for you would you place yourself in this spectrum? What's your how in terms of your charism? We could pick that up later on as we talk some more. So we're kind of, that was in the middle of the funnel. We've done passions at the wide end, charism in the middle, and now we're going to go a bit further down the funnel. We're channeling down to be a bit more specific in what we're thinking about. And to finish off, here are some innovation principles. The green list on the right are 15 pioneer innovation principles, and we've been working on these for quite a long time. They're now form the new discernment structures in the Church of England for people who might want to be a pioneer, and we're going to use those from the autumn in our assessment of people who might feel they're called to be a pioneer. As a group, we did a bit of thinking, well, what would the planting version of these principles like? And this is by no means a definitive list, so it'd be really interesting to see what people think. Maybe some words need to change, but this is where we got to so far. And the word, some of the words you'll see are the same. Jesus-centered is going to be the same. Some words underlined have the same language, but are going to be maybe lived out in a slightly different way. And other words in orange are, perhaps are doing something slightly different. And as you notice, it starts by thinking about spiritual foundations, which is a really important place to start. You know, how prayerful are we in starting things? Are we just leaping to get something going? How responsive to God are we, really listening to what he's saying? And then as you move further, what are the inward qualities that we're trying to cultivate that come out of, I think, those spiritual foundations in ourselves as Christians, as leaders, maybe in the churches that we're trying to co-create things with? And then also out of those inward qualities, where are the outward practices that grow from those? And then from all of those things, I think then we can begin to start something. So just to finish off, to pick out some of these things that are different. So bicultural identity is really talking about perhaps a spiritual identity in terms of holding church and world together. So we wondered for the planter, it might be about being missional to build up the church. For the pioneer, it might be holding world and church together in the same space at the same time, which is a little bit different. Calling, obviously there's a deep calling, the passions are going to be the same, but the calling might be slightly different. So for a planter, maybe it's about working with others in the church to reach people outside of the church. And for pioneers, maybe the calling is about to love and serve the world around them and see what happens and what grows. Moving to the qualities, there's two words that we thought might be slightly different. So for a planter, maybe it's the theme there of being enterprising. So it's about initiating new things. It's about being resourceful and responsive to what needs to happen, perhaps to a vision that's been thought about already by the team. So there might be some clear outcomes that are trying to be reached. For the pioneer, maybe it's more about being playful. So playful is about holding outcomes lightly, using what's to hand, maybe not knowing what the end result is, but just seeing what happens, really kind of treading the path and letting it unfold, which is a slightly different way, slightly different quality in a way of working. Hospitable, everyone's hospitable, that's really key. But maybe for the planter, there's a really wonderful host model there, which is saying, you know, we're being as generous as we possibly can. We want to really invite you in. We want to serve you, do lots of wonderful things to make you feel at home, to get to know us, all kinds of ways. The pioneer might be hospitable in more of a guest model. So maybe seeing themselves as one of the guests in the community they're reaching, and perhaps having a more facilitative host approach, raising up other people to be leaders that may well become the leaders of what is started, perhaps with the pioneer or not, depends. So kind of host and guest is sort of slightly different in those spaces. Then just moving to outward practices, finally, the planter, it might be about gathering a team, starting something and then building it together. For the pioneer, it's gonna be about noticing the world around them, what God's saying. It might take a year maybe to do some really good noticing. So not much is happening above the ground. It's about adapting to the world around you. So adapting your own spiritual practices or maybe what you think you'd like to do actually for the good of the context. So it's really contextual and really relevant to people. And experimenting, trying things out. All good experiments have elements that don't work. And actually that's where the best learning is. So there's lots and lots of experimentation to kind of work out, well, what do we need to do here? And finally, co-create. Is pretty important. So it might be that planters are perhaps in general, not exclusively, are co-creating with their team, and I'm sure a little bit with the people who were there seeking to reach as well. But in the early stages, perhaps it's a lot with the team because they're the ones who were there first. The pioneers are going to be co-creating with the people in the missional context who perhaps haven't yet decided what they think about faith. But together, they're going to kind of go on a journey and grow something. So I wonder whether you're more on the green list or the blue list, or whether actually there's several bits of the green and blue that describe you that you would connect together in a more hybrid planter pioneer way of starting a new Christian community. As I say, it's not a binary thing, but I think it is helpful to say there is a distinction, and we want to really celebrate the distinction. It's wonderful to have planters who do one thing and pioneers who do another. So to finish off, five top tips very, very quickly, and then we'll move to discussion about how you could take this further if you've been listening and thinking, oh yeah, that's sparked something. So maybe find someone who's got similar passions to you, maybe similar charism, and who's further along on the journey that you can kind of journey with and ask really good questions of what happened to them. Spend time with individuals doing these things in the world around you, just journey with them. I think it's really good to ask good questions, really the third thing of these people and wise people in your lives to help them, to help you to discern, and also for them to ask really good, honest questions of you. You're saying this is your passion, but actually, is it? Have you done this? How's this going to work out? Fourthly, find a crowd to run with. I thought that was a really good suggestion. Don't do it on your own. It's really important to be with other people. And then fifthly, find a really good coach or some good training, and that will look so different. There's all kinds of great stuff around now, but just find a way of really joining in with something that can help you to hone and think through what your discernment could be. So we've reached the end of the funnel here, but it'd be wonderful to talk a bit more about some of those themes.
Ed, thanks so much. There's so much in there. I had my phone out screenshotting all those lists of stuff. Really, really useful. So thank you very much. Love to hear from anyone who wants to ask a question. So please do. We've got three excellent questions already. But if you've got another question, or if you want to click the thumbs up on any of the existing questions, then please do. But we would love to have interaction from all of you who are watching as well. But we're going to begin with something really to ask to Beth and Richard in particular. What do you look for, and how do you discern who might be a pioneer or a planter? Maybe something from what Ed has said, or something different entirely that helps you to know whether someone that you're speaking to might be a pioneer or a planter. Perhaps even your personal experience, how did you know where you sit on that scale? Beth, could you start for us?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you, Ed. There was so much treasure in that. I think one of the things about pioneers is that they can't help but start something new. They can't help but create a space or go into a space and have conversations that somehow end up being about life, faith, God, serving a community. So one of the things we often see at the national the selection panel for pioneers is that people are already doing something that is what we now might call pioneering, which fits with the ministry division definition of pioneering. So I think one of the key things about is someone a pioneer is, what are they already doing? What are they doing in spare time, out of their own money, in their own house, at their own allotment, wherever it is? So I think one of the things for are you a pioneer is, well, what do you do? What are you doing in your life already?
So good, thank you. Richard, how about for you?
I think those are really helpful comments. I wonder whether that has something to do with ambitions and what's success for you. So in other words, I wonder whether the pioneer, they feel successful, they feel ambitious, they feel like they've accomplished what they're meant to accomplish when there's a kind of there's a missional interaction in which the gospel is shared and people come to faith, and that for them is a win. I think for the planter, it's a slightly different thing. It's not that that is unimportant. It's just that is part of what they're doing. And then once they're trying to establish a church that then might participate in that as well. And I think that That might be a helpful distinction. The pioneer is pioneering. You know, by definition, they are breaking new ground, doing new things and so on. But the planter, I wonder whether there is more of a team component, certainly at the start. And I would say just, you know, what does success look like for you? If you want the first, great. If you want the second, great. Just do the one that makes you pray, makes you excited and so on.
So helpful, thank you. And actually, it's really releasing, isn't it? And there've been a few comments in the chat and in the questions that actually understanding the differences and the overlap is very, very helpful for a lot of people, especially with that kind of key component in pioneering of not fitting in. I think people can often feel like they're a bit on the outside, and actually wonderful to find like-minded people who might be on the outside, feel on the outside in different ways, but actually there's a sense of commonality in that as well. So thank you. I was really struck by what Ed was saying about the idea of hospitality, but the difference in between pioneering and planting is, I guess, whether you lean towards being the host or the guest. So helpful. And yeah, I'm gonna remember that. So we've got a question from John here about, how do you know what is going to work in your community without imposing on what they think people in the community want or need? This is a great distinction, I think, between pioneers and planters. So maybe, we'll get on to that. Obviously, the Lord helps with that. But on a strategic level, what do you think? How do we use our brains to know what the difference is in terms of the model that's going to work in our communities? Who would like to go first? Maybe Beth, you're not on mute, so I think you're ready to go.
Yeah, sure. I guess I can speak a little bit from experience. I think the best people to find out what's going on in a community are the people in the community. I know when I worked as a pioneer minister in nighttime economy of Leeds, the best people to tell me about the nighttime economy of Leeds were the people that lived in it, played in it, managed it, worked in it. One of the most helpful people, partners in that job, was a lady who worked for the local council. She gave me so much insight, so much advice, not at all a faith person, a church person, a God person, if you like, but she was so insightful and incredibly encouraging of what we were wanting to do. And I think that, you know, I could have had a million ideas of what the nighttime economy of Leeds needed and what a missional community or welfare projects there might look like. I would have been 100% wrong, or definitely over 50% wrong. And actually that lady's ideas and the doorman's ideas and the pub manager's ideas were so much more helpful and meant that what we developed was actually much more honouring of the community. That posture of guest, it does take a humility, it does take a curiosity, it does take a desire to learn, an acknowledgement that you really might get it wrong, you might feel uncomfortable at times. But actually, it's okay to say, I need to learn. And that's part of the listening journey as well. So part of that would just be, well, who are you listening to? Listen to the community.
Thank you. Ed, Richard, what would you like to add to that?
I think that's answered very well. I guess the only other thing that was in my mind was about to see how much we're empowering or inadvertently disempowering the community. So I think in the question was the language of imposing. And I think that's right, it comes from the listening. But even when you work out what it is that you can do, do it in a way that empowers people rather than just plonk something in front of them and ask them to sort of join in with it. Maybe they've got a different way of doing it. Maybe their language is different. Maybe it might help you to see maybe it's trying also to understand the local theology. Maybe in all the listening and noticing, you're realizing, wow, there's a really low confidence level in this community, or there's been a massive thing that's happened and we're needing reconciliation or whatever. There might be some deeper things that as the planter or the pioneer you can really notice and maybe help the community to see, which could also help you to do something that's authentic.
I'd simply add that I think it's been highlighted, but there's a great danger that the planter with the planting team won't ask the key questions, that won't, because if you've got a franchise model of church that I described earlier, where you're taking a group and plonking it, you can feel successful because you might attract the people who are already like the people that you've already got. And in one sense, you can get growth, but actually you're not reaching the people that you really want to reach. And so there's no substitute for just getting totally familiar with the social geography of a place. And if you're a pioneer and you can do that, as Beth described, it takes time, but boy, do you end up with a better picture at the end of it. You know, you really know the community from the inside out, you know how they tick. But the danger is with franchise church, you can feel successful and actually miss a whole lot of people that you'd really love to reach.
So good, so challenging. Yeah, that we can feel successful, but what are we actually achieving? Miles has asked a question, which maybe leads on from that a little bit about kind of leaning into the community, but how can we encourage playfulness? And particularly, how can an institution be self-aware to make sure it doesn't stifle change and, I guess, stifle pioneering and new ideas? Ed, you're the director of pioneers for the Church of England, so yeah, maybe you're a good one to be kicking off with this question.
Yeah, it's an emerging word that I think I've just noticed lots of people using. And again, just to reference people like Tina Hodgett, she was part of writing the Pioneer Spectrum. She's done lots of thinking on this, and she would say that if you compare the way adults think about play and children think about play, it's quite different. As adults, we say to children, "Oh, it's playtime now," or "Let's have a time of play." But actually, children often operate in a continual state of play. They learn through play, they eat through play, they discover the world around them through play. So I think the posture of play is that it's continuous. It's not, "Oh, it's Wednesday afternoon, it's 3 o'clock, let's do the play bit of our planting or pioneering." So it's cultivating a habit or a quality of play. And that can, to echo Miles's question, that can be difficult in an institution that has structures and process and formula. But somehow, and that's probably a tension, but it could be a healthy tension, couldn't it? If you can hold play and institution together, some really good things could happen. It could also be a bit difficult as well. But I just feel like a really important word.
I can say something around change. I was thinking of myself as someone that really likes change. I wrote a master's thesis around how ordained pioneer ministers can bring change in the church. And then I was part of a pioneering group where some new people had joined, and they said, "Oh, what about this?" And I heard myself say, "Oh, we've tried that before, didn't really work." And actually making sure that, recognizing that we have a part to play in encouraging change. And my part when in that meeting was actually then to step out, because I'd become a limit to the change. So I think there is a sense of hearing ourselves and also noticing who's coming behind us and not making sure that we're not the limit on them. Stepping into change, I think it's being honest about it. I think it can be really hard. You can feel vulnerable, you can feel incompetent. That's not a very nice thing to feel, and I think modeling that and talking about that is part of helping others step into change. We can say, "Oh, change is going to be brilliant," and then someone doesn't like it, feels weird, and then they don't want to do it anymore. But if we're honest and saying, "Well, change can lead to really good places, but the process might feel quite disorientating, quite confusing, quite challenging," and being honest about that journey of change, I think is a helpful thing too.
That's really helpful.
Do you want me to weigh in a bit?
Go for it.
Cheers, Abby. I thought Ed was right on the money when he described there being a sort of inherent tension, isn't there, between the institution and the pioneer. In other words, I mean, they are both a headache to one another, aren't they? But I want to suggest to those of you of a pioneering mindset, your pioneering will be enhanced by the constructive intervention of an institution, because I think that in terms of selection, That is really validating to you to know that a group of people think you've got that. I think you need accountability that you don't think you need, but you do, for your own sake and for the sake of the project and the other people that join you. I think an institution has a great opportunity for resourcing, but I think the big danger for the institution is they want control with that, and that's where the kind of the tension bites a bit. But I want to say, I think it's probably better that both have one another. I think it's a good for institution to have pioneers that are pushing the boundaries, saying, "Look, let's remember what we're here for. This, what are we meant to be about? Why is this big, huge thing here? It is to reach the lost with the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here are some innovative ways being pushed forward by people who are good at not doing the same old, but guess what? They're reaching a different group of people." And you just want to say, that is fantastic. That's what the church is here for.
So helpful. Yeah, you're right. It's like a friendly irritant, isn't there? You know, just productive, but difficult relationship sometimes, isn't it? We've got quite a practical question from a couple of people asking about curacies and posts. And how honest you should be with your diocese, or not how honest, but how, I guess, straightforward you should be with your diocese about the kind of training opportunities that you feel called to or that you want or need in terms of your ongoing vocation. Would you hold out for a planting church or church plant or pioneering opportunity within curacy, or would you recommend doing a kind of more standardised curacy with the option to kind of pioneer after that? Any comments about how to move forward in pioneering in those kind of ways and the structures?
I think that's a perfect question for Ed.
Ed, that's Ed's.
I don't think there's any easy answer, but I think you can certainly see there are more creative curacies emerging all the time. I know more about the pioneering ones than the planting ones, but I imagine it's the same in both cases. There are good opportunities out there. It's mostly the diocese who will create those opportunities. And so if you don't have that in your own diocese, then you need to be released, and then you can look at other things. I think curacy is still part of your learning and training time. And I know when I was a curate, the best advice actually was above all, rather than the perfect church environment or perfect missional space, is to have a really brilliant person who's going to train you, who really understands your funnel journey. So actually, you could be in the most, you know, brilliant planting environment, but actually the person training you doesn't quite get what you're trying to do. Or you could be somewhere maybe a little bit more middle of the road, but actually they really want to give you opportunities within that space to try out different things. You know, they're very releasing. So I think that a good training incumbent actually, for me, would trump the environment. At the same time, I don't really see the point of going somewhere so opposite to what you feel called to do just for the sake of broadening your breadth of experience. That's okay to a certain extent, but why would you do that? So that kind of half answers the question. but I think, yeah, it's a balance between the person training you and what you think is essential and non-essential in that context.
Thanks, Ed. Well, time is short. So what I'd love to hear from the three of you now would be your top tips, really, and next steps for someone who's watching this, who's on this seminar, maybe watching it later. What should someone do next if they're feeling a call to pioneer or to plant? Where should they go? What should they do? Richard, maybe you could start with this.
I'll go the first session. Gut, trust your gut. What's your gut saying? What excites you? What, you know, what raises, you know, the excitement levels? What thrills you? And just push there onto probably the next stage, but be honest with yourself about that.
Thank you. And Ed?
Yeah, I think if you're part of the Church of England, it's really important to work with your incumbent, work with your, if you have a DDO, if you're thinking about ordination, or with your lay officer, if you're a lay person. One quick plug, the 15 Principles are a book. The working title is Inhabiting Innovation or something like that. It's going to be published in September. So that might be a really good thing to get hold of. And it gives lots of detail about those 15 things. So you could read that and talk about it with somebody. That'd be a good thing to do.
Great. And Beth, you've got the last word.
Keep listening to God. Keep treasuring what God is saying to you. And then find some people who are doing the kind of thing that you want to do. And they'll be the best people to help you with your next steps.
Brilliant. It's been such a rich and brilliant time. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Beth, so much for your contributions. It's been brilliant to hear from you all, and we've had lots of interaction. If you asked a question and we didn't get to it, then I'm sorry. But I think we've covered a lot in the time that we've had. Coming up next, we have got Al Gordon, Ruth Bush-Yeager and Malcolm McDonald talking about leading into growth and leading into planting. So do stay around for that if you'd like to. But also, there are 9 seminar streams, so do feel free to go and explore elsewhere. There's so much good content this afternoon. Enjoy. God bless you. Keep pioneering. And if you feel like you don't fit in, then maybe God is doing something special in you and is going to do something special through you. So go and pioneer and plant, and God bless you. Bye.